Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by astrology and how it unfolds in our daily life. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you tonight from a frozen Minnesota, but we are so lucky here that it is only 5 inches of snow out there and not the several feet. We know it'll be there soon. I am normally joined by my compatriots, Mark Woltz and Anne Ortley from New York. They have not called in yet, but they probably will. In a little while, I'm going to go over the charts of the moment. I think this is...
Hello, Heather.
Hello, Mark. Are you on the line?
Yes.
Wonderful. And where are you calling in from?
Calling in from New York City.
How's the weather there? You didn't get slobbered with a huge event, did you?
No, we didn't get precipitation. No.
You are so lucky.
Yesterday we had some rain. It was still warm enough for rain. And today got cold, but not terrible. So
now
we sort of missed it. We're not Buffalo.
Yeah. Not many places are. Now, when I first moved to North Dakota, there was many stories there about when the travelers first went out there trying to find their friends in the springtime after a long winter, the tinkers and the traders that first came out, and they couldn't find the houses because they were buried under snow. When I first got out to North Dakota, I would see these strange things of electric sockets 5 feet off the ground, and I go, what are those? And that's to plug in your engine warmer when the snow's down.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so, you know, this is not unusual. This is not a terrible ecological disaster, these bad storms. The increase of them is, the wackiness of the cycle is.
Right.
But we also see that with Neptune in Pisces. We expected to see more water extremes, so too much water here, too little water there. And that certainly has been in place for the last couple of years since Neptune's been in Pisces, and will probably for the next decade. You know, I don't know if it will slack off or if our ecosystem's just permanently changed. We'll see.
Right.
But that's going to be interesting. And next summer, Saturn and Neptune square, and I think that seems to increase the weather, the too much water here, too little water there, the lack of flow around the water.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got my fingers crossed around that.
Yeah.
How has this week been for you otherwise?
Pretty good. Not nothing too spectacular close to home, but stuff has been happening in the world, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. What have you been noticing?
I haven't picked up real strongly. Well, the Uranus stuff, there's been things going on with Uranus that are noticeable. The unexpected shifts, the Mars squaring Uranus,
which was a very difficult week for many people. And I'm so glad that the grand jury vote has not come down and did not come down last week in Ferguson while Mars conjunct Pluto square Uranus. Had it come down, no matter what it came down, it would have been a disaster last week, one side or the other. It's getting more and more fraught, but I have more hopes that they're really considering it, that they're taking this long.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting farther away from those very difficult aspects.
Yeah, that will help.
Mm-hmm. And this rest of this week, we're spending with the Sun in Scorpio, Saturn in Scorpio, Mercury in Scorpio. Luckily, Venus has gone into Sagittarius. I could already feel a lightning when that happened. Venus is an exact square to Neptune. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But at the end of this week, at the end of the next 2 months, we have magic days. Friday night, on the 21st, the sun is in Scorpio, and the moon is in Scorpio, and the moon conjunct Saturn, and it's at the dark of the moon, and it's a deep, thoughtful, inward-looking, introspective time. And the next morning, the sun and the moon both go into Sagittarius at the same time.
Yeah,
and we have a new moon in Sagittarius. Woohoo!
Yeah, that's a nice new moon.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel that the energy is going to shift from Friday to Saturday?
There will come in a sense of optimism. There is that moment with the moon conjuncting Saturn where things seem pretty grim. And we'll certainly all notice how short the days are getting, you know. That'll always stand out. But then when the sun goes into Sagittarius, there's always a sense of optimism. Even though the days are getting shorter, there's a feeling of we've been here before, we know what this is. And then in the new moon in Sagittarius, there's a sense of we're going through this again, and it is, you know, the shortening of the days and the diminishing of the light. We're going through it again, but we have been through it before, and here we go. It's okay. You know, there's a feeling it's okay. So that's what I expect people will be feeling with that new moon in Sagittarius.
Yeah. I think of Sagittarius, you know, the two theme songs I think of for Sagittarius is, you know, first that the Don't Fence Me In song, the Sunny's Dies Agov, Don't Fence Me In, because the fear of the song about the old Texas song about being not fenced in, about not wanting to feel stuck, always felt so Sagittarian to me.
Yes.
And then the sun will come out tomorrow, you know, I bet your bottom dollar. That Sagittarian quality. I think of my brother who was born with Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Mars in Sagittarius. And I have great respect for my brother. And with a moon in Aries, my poor parents. And he's recovering from a very severe motorcycle accident 7 years ago and doing really amazingly well. But he was in 9 different foster homes before we adopted him at 4.5. And the kid bounced and made it through. That survivability, that endurance, I have always so deeply respected in him.
That's great.
You know, that there's like, just like, well, okay, let me deal. And so I'm hoping that all of us get a little of that resilient. I think that's the word I think of with a Sagittarius on a good day, is resilient.
Yeah, that's what's available to us. And coming out of those difficult things with Uranus last week, I think we will feel it. There's less the sense of pressure and more a feeling that whatever comes, we can handle it.
We can handle it. Now, Sagittarius can make people, you know, you always worry about senses that start, like, let me be frank about that, you know, people, and we have Mercury squaring Jupiter on the 22nd. And so people are going to be speaking up right and left.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. And that may be wonderful for social justice causes. And there may be things that we need to say in the family that we could feel that was just too much charge while everything was in Sagittarius. I'd still say it might be better to wait until after Thanksgiving before you have that meeting about house chores or something other that could be loaded, when Mercury also goes into Sagittarius late on Thanksgiving. Mercury and Scorpio can still get a little squirrely, but that people may speak up too much this weekend. So if you finally need to disburden yourself of something, make sure it's kind and necessary as well as true.
Yeah, don't overstate things.
Yeah. Because that Jupiter Mercury square can't overstate. So what do you think about today's...
Go ahead. I was just going to say that the Mercury square Jupiter can make people overly sensitive to what's communicated, too. So it they can be more sensitive than what you intended something to mean.
Yeah. If you have, there's also Venus square Neptune today. And Venus is in Sagittarius, Neptune's in Pisces, and they're at right angles. And so, you know, one thing you can say is some people's romantic plans around Lake Erie have been curtailed because of too much moisture in their lap. They can't get anywhere because their car's snowed under. That fits, Neptune square Venus. But how? What would you say are some more both metaphysical and theoretical approaches to Venus square Neptune in the sky at the moment?
Well, Venus square Neptune, one thing you always have to be careful of is any financial dealings. You might not make the best choices. Things might not be what they appear to be financially.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing any deals, make sure that you're extra clear about every part of it, every facet of what that deal is. Because there can often be, it's often an over-optimism there, you know, a feeling that things are better than they really are. And sometimes we can trust more the information that's being given to us than we really should. And it doesn't mean that the information is not necessarily deceptive, but it might be something that we're misleading ourselves on. In other words, we set up expectations that are not going to be borne out. And it doesn't, we don't necessarily find that out until somewhere further down the line. So, you know.
So, yes, that deceptivity. I would say it's also, if you've got any, you know, it's, I find that Neptune has to be channeled. If we don't honor Neptune, our need for escapism and magic and intuitive connection and feeling at one with the world, it comes and grabs us. So whenever I see a Neptune square, I think getting lost in my daydreams.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and you're just talking about that, getting lost in their daydreams and imagining things that didn't happen. How do they? So, you know, we can't stop a transit, but we can redirect it. So anytime you can focus those pieces, that Neptunian hunger, into your spiritual practice, into your meditative practice, into write a novel, daydream consciously, vision statement.
That's a good use.
Get your paints out. Right. You know, let yourself do divination, but keep a grain of, like, don't assume you know what it means. One of my favorite ways of learning a new tarot card might be to think about something and pull one card, but then not assume that I know what it means, but write it down and then watch what actually happens. Because I often learn new layers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's if we can suspend our assumption, but give that daydream place to go, then it comes back and allows us to do that deeper work.
Yeah, we just have to learn how to temper it later.
Right.
By what we actually observe.
Mm-hmm. And then Monday, sort of after this sort of spacey, high energy, kind of take the dogs to the dark park if you can, get out and play in the snow where possible. On Monday and Tuesday, the moon goes into Capricorn and the Mercury conjuncts Saturn. And it's like get a lot of work done in a short period of time.
That's right. Yeah.
And that getting a lot of work done in a short period of time is really useful. And for this.
That's a good time to review any contracts you have out there.
Right. And clear the decks for Thanksgiving. It may be that people next week are going to be a little too impatient to be soft and squishy. They've got stuff to do. They've got work to done. They've got, you know, it'll be very helpful for students getting stuff in for and finishing final exams. Really good for studying for exams and getting it done, getting your papers in, finishing your work before the Thanksgiving weekend. And in that intensive work, you know, don't try to broach soft emotional topics, because I think people are going to go like, yeah, well, hurry up. What's the bottom line? You know, and that means what? What should I do about that? You know, you're sad. Can I fix it? Nope. Then don't tell me about it. So people are going to be a little abrupt early next week. But just consider that everybody's got their stuff to do. Keep it task focused. And it starts to shift into a wonderful moon in Aquarius for Thanksgiving. And we get into more collectiveness, and we'll be talking about that next week, that more collective, juicy energy for Thanksgiving itself. Yeah. It'll be a good year to experiment with recipes and to meet in different patterns and to vary your traditions instead of having to be to do just everything the way we've always done it, but to experiment a little bit, which is unusual for this Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I feel good about that. We've got a few callers on the line. Should we give them a shot?
Yeah.
Did you get any emails this week? I got one saying, thank you very much for the work that we did last week. It was very helpful, which is good.
Yeah.
And I will, if you have called and want to be, have a question, I think you have to raise your hand. I think everybody who has raised their hand, I'm going to
press number one.
Check number one. I want to see if this person. Hello, 443 area code. You're on the line. Did you have a question for us? No, they didn't. Okay. We'll try the next one. Hello, you're on the line. Can we help you? Do you have a question for us? Nope, they don't either.
Me?
No.
Hello, yes.
Somebody.
Oh, hi there.
Do you have a question for us? Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I was born January 14th, 1988. In Casablanca, Morocco.
Wonderful. What time?
12:45 p.m. My
I've
question.
Always wanted to do somebody in Casablanca. Hold on. And Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And what was your question?
I've been experiencing a difficult time financially for quite a stretch of time. And I'm just wondering if you can see when that will get better.
Where are you living now?
I'm in Maryland.
Okay. And because I just want to do a relocation chart to see how it looks for you there. Put your so I can see it even more in the relocated chart. Whenever I hear, and would you say it's been going on for about 2 years?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. When Saturn got close to your progressed moon, you were born with the moon Pluto conjunct at the top of the chart in Scorpio, if we relocate you here to Maryland. And it puts your sun right near the ascendant in the 12th house, and your moon, so it's not a bad place for you. But by relocation, Saturn's been crossing across the very top of your chart. And just huge amount of responsibilities and working with a very limited palette. So not feeling like you had much money to do anything, right?
Right.
So And when we do it by natal chart, it's that Saturn is still conjuncting your moon and Pluto, but it's going through your seventh house.
Yeah.
It looks like there's other people involved in how hard it's been financially for you.
I've been receiving support, just trying to get to a point in my life where I'm more independent and standing on my own two feet.
Mm-hmm. And what's also interesting, and it took me a minute to figure that out, is by relocated chart, your progressed moon went into Scorpio about a month ago. So it looks like you almost lost your home or felt very uncertain about where you lived in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Or felt, and when your progressed moon in Scorpio conjunct Pluto. So you've got another 17 months with your progressed moon in Scorpio. So there's still a lot of deep work that you're doing. But Saturn gets out of Scorpio and gets off conjuncts your Mars next. So there's still a lot of disciplined work that's being asked of you. But you're really reorganizing for a whole new 30-year cycle.
Yeah.
And I think within a year and a half, you're in a really good... Are you in school?
I'm not in school. It took me nearly 6 years to finish my bachelor's degree. I'm considering going back to school. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm considering going back to school, but I'm wondering about whether it'd be better for me to pursue studies independently instead of taking out loans to go back to school.
What do you love to do? You're a Capricorn moon in Scorpio with a Taurus rising natally.
Yeah. Actually, I'm
But you have a really good Mercury and Venus in Aquarius, so you really good sense of community and surroundings.
I'm studying astrology, and I've been studying formally for a year, and so I'm just beginning to build my practice now. And so I'm trying to be really careful about how I use my energy in terms of work.
Are you doing for a day job?
Yeah, I've been bouncing around a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you love? If you were going to bap yourself over the head with a magic wand, what would you be doing?
I'd be having my time astrology practice and reading and writing and doing all manner of learning.
So that builds over time.
Right.
So I'm looking at this next 17 months looks financially tight, but it's a great time to study and learn.
Yeah.
And you'll be learning astrology. Anything that you can do to develop that mental rigor and the kind of classes that might be helpful as an astrologer would be more psych classes, more group experience, and writing. Writing workshops. But the writing and the psych back up, because astrology is something, the symbols bury in you, and then it grows with your, as you grow, it grows with your world experience.
Yeah.
So the more you studying astrology and studying how people work, how systems work, how, cultures work, how the writing works at the same time.
Yeah.
It looks like you're going to need a day job for the next year and a half.
Yeah,
at least.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
But if you can give yourself a good day job and continue to take classes that support this work.
Yeah.
And that could be taking more astrology, but it also might be taking, while you're poor, you might as well have some good class. And it doesn't necessarily need to be degree oriented. Though a degree in psych really does support astrology, I don't have one. But anything that supports your work will help you here. Mark, what do you see?
It's nice that you're studying astrology because you'll have heard of the Saturn return. And you may have heard of the progressed lunar return. And you're in a phase of life where you're moving from the progressed lunar return to the Saturn return. And it's a time in our later 20s when we basically get our emotional life in order and sort of realize what it is that brings us emotional stability and meets our needs. So we spend some time getting that together, and then how we answer to the outside world and put together the outside with what we've been putting together inside is what happens with the Saturn return, and you're moving toward that. And so when the Sun, or when Saturn gets into the end of Sagittarius, that's where your Saturn return happens. And a lot of your questions are going to be answered then. So the time between now and then is still one of experiment and you know, getting the recipe right. And then when the Saturn return comes, you'll have the feeling that now you know what, how to mix things in your life so that it really works for you. So that's also a reason to really focus on study and being open and experimenting and just seeing what that mix is going to be. Mm. And then you'll really make the decisive moves with the Saturn return.
Beautiful.
Good. So you're in a good spot. And it just, you may not be able to answer to other people right now exactly how you're going to piece all this together and make it work. But, you know, you're on your way to doing that.
Yeah. I think I am really concerned with small, short-term, details. And I prefer to have a broader, begin to execute on a broader vision. But it appears that probably it's more practical to tend to the shorter term stability.
Well, they need to connect together. You know, with your Mercury and Venus in Aquarius, you're not really going to do well just in the details. You need to see why you're going somewhere. But that Moon-Pluto conjunction in Scorpio wants to go in deep. And that's, again, the sense of square between that Venus in Aquarius and they're not square by degree, but they're the midpoint of your Mercury-Venus in Aquarius squares the midpoint of your Moon-Pluto conjunction in Scorpio. And that's focus, big picture, focus, big picture. And it feels like they're a square.
Yeah.
But whenever you see a square in a chart, you know, the answer is yes and, not no but. You know, it's like saying, which leg do you want to stand on, your right or your left? Let me take the other one away. You need both. You need the big picture, but your Scorpio wants to go deep. And the two of those sides need to converse and say, how do we put this together? How do we take to the long term? So any job that clues you into its front lines dealing with people, teaches you about people, which will help your astrology.
Beautiful.
So I would say, you know, the short-term work needs a day job, but make sure that day job helps you learn about people, either actively or passively.
Okay.
So that you take that and that your awareness, what's going on with people astrologically, and you bring that back to your work, and it will feel satisfying.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank
you.
Good
Let's
luck on that.
So much.
Okay. Let us know
care.
How it goes.
Okay. We've got 50 seconds, so I'm going to say goodbye for this week. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you. And remember, you can contact any of us for private readings from Minnesota, ever so cold, but kind of dry. And joined by Mark.
Mark Wolf in New York City. Not having too much of that weather in the city.
And Ann Ortley will probably join us next week. And you two can be seen where?
On
the two of
Tuesday
you
evening
next
at the Church of the Transfiguration, which is just at the Open Center on 30th Street
Wonderful.
In Manhattan. That's at 7
o'clock
on
Tuesday. Okay, take care, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now.